Cebu Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of Cebu in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about Cebu Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice a board meeting in writing, please email monica@cebu.org.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, it's Monday, January 16th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 2017. And you're listening to your community radio, your sanctuary radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM on the web. First, a little bit of weather. We're going to try to reach Chauncey Peltier, one of Leonard Peltier's sons. He has been the central force in the movement to free Leonard Peltier, who is aging. He's in his 70s. He had an aneurysm back in the summer. He needed urgent medical care then. He needs it even more urgently now. This is an issue that we can, I think, rest assured that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself, this would have gone to bat for Leonard after all of the prisoners had been released for nonviolent crimes, for all of the evidence that Leonard Peltier is an innocent man behind bars for all these many years after Pine Ridge. They needed scapegoat, and Leonard was conveniently right in the crosshairs. This, again, a crime against First Nations. Right now, as we are seeing Standing Rock revisited time and time again across the country, we are confronted with yet another injustice against non-white people, pretty much anyone who is not white. I think that a lot of the violence, anger, injustice that is being directed at African Americans, first off, the legacy of slavery is alive and well. Imagine, slavery is not gone, by the way. Look at our prison system. There you have slavery. Look at all of the unpaid labor that women do. Add that up. Add it up at minimum wage and still see it's up in the billions. It's up in the trillions. The unpaid labor that women do all day, every day. But the legacy of, we talk about in a very glib manner, the legacy of slavery as though it were something in the past. Think about it this way. Pretty much as white people, we think about our grandmothers and grandfathers, and we think about people in our past. But our past is with us all the time. I believe it's part of the general mental set of entitlement that white people walk around with all the time. Now, imagine if you're African American. Slavery is with you all the time. Your ancestors are still alive and well. I think, too, that African Americans in general I think that it's safe to say that the past is a lot, and ancestors are of greater reality. But to have that, it's not past, it's not a legacy, it's not anything like that. It's real, it's present. And we dismiss it. White America dismisses that. And that's possibly it should be the source of enormous guilt. And as we all know, that white people don't deal with guilt very well. They tend to build it up into anger and then lash out. The same might be said for First Nations people, for Native Americans. But don't forget, listeners, the term Native American is a grotesque misnomer. Native, yes. American, no. First Nations people were here long before America was ever here, and America has done such incredible injustice and violence and outright thievery and disrespect, the violation of old traditions, violation of real cultural heritage, and yet we managed to minimize is the struggle of First Nations by referring to those peoples as Native Americans. What a disgrace. I mean, it's really breathtaking. We talk about these things. We come to mind on days like this when we think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We talk about what his murder did to the United States of America, how it did in fact change the course of history. We have no way of knowing how things would have turned out, how different it really would have been. It was a terrible loss, and it came because at a time when Dr. King had begun to speak eloquently about the plight of the poor in general, and that made him making him an enormous threat to the a white assumption of superiority, because the class system in America is far more brutal, it is expressed more brutally in America, I would argue, than it is anywhere else in the world. It's we talk about the class warfare. It really is. There really is a class war against the poor. And it really is being waged in very, very ugly, brutal terms of every day. The poor not only live in standards that the 1%ers, the Donald Trumps of the world, would not deem fit for animals, but they also struggle on a daily basis against humiliation, routine humiliation, simply in the course of attempting to obtain adequate medical care for their children, for themselves, simply to obtain food, awful food, usually food they would never choose to eat had they any other options. And housing, which range from no housing whatsoever to abysmal, because landlords can do pretty much anything that they want to the poor. The poor live in constant terror of horrible living conditions, horrible non-existent maintenance of the structures that they're forced to live in, and then fear of being evicted from such dwellings. That's a picture of America today. There is absolutely no getting around it. There is no excuse at all in a country where among the 10 wealthiest human beings on the planet, the greatest majority of in that group are Americans. They live in the United States, and this is in front of them all on every day, and yet nothing is done. And the gap between the wealthy and the poor grows ever wider until they barely speak the same language anymore, barely recognize one another. These are two worlds that have become so separate. And into that gap suddenly lunge the irate mob that Donald Trump has managed to mobilize on his behalf, obviously to the great ultimate downfall of his said mob. But nonetheless, mob it will remain. When it turns its anger and vengeance around and looks for another target, then we're really going to see what class war looks like. This is not so much a class as the disenfranchised white people who suddenly realize that no, they in fact don't have all the power, because if they did, they wouldn't have they wouldn't be sitting unemployed and watching everything that they have or they believe they have, everything that they believe they worked for, watch it all get washed away. That is where the warfare comes in. And I believe that it is quite possible, given all of these conditions that we see before us right now, that civil war in the United States is not too distant a shore. That said, as commentary and my apologies, not able to get an answer from either of our guests today. One of the guests, Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping, has offended the thin-skinned Monsanto people, and looks right now as though he might actually go to prison. Right now, Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping is literally fighting for his freedom and for the freedom of a number of the people that are close to him, for the simple crime of speaking truth to Monsanto, which is why the silence when I've tried to reach him is alarming. It should alarm all of us as a community. We are a community, KBOO, our listeners, you and I, and all the others out there, volunteers alike. The Reverend Billy is one of us, and we regard him as a friend. And some of us have met him, some of us have participated in his activities here. And now the thought that he might very well be going to prison simply for exercising his right to free speech. That is alarming. That is a problem. We would now return to Standing Rock, and Standing Rock now, of course, refers to actions all across the country where First Nations people are standing up, speaking truth to the fossil fuel industry and demanding that their land, their rights, their treaty rights, land by American law, not just First Nations Indigenous law, but by American law, this land belongs to them, and their rights have been violated, and they are standing up to those who would seek to plunder whatever is available on First Nations land. All charges have been dropped, by the way, against the Line 9 valve turners. It's a Chippewa victory, and all charges have been dropped against Vanessa Gray, Stone Stewart, and Sarah Scanlon. They are the ones, remember, who shut down Enbridge's Line 9 pipeline in December. They were charged with mischief, endangering lives, and mischief over $5,000, as their lawyers explained. These exaggerated charges were a scare tactic used to intimidate them and future water defenders from engaging in direct action. However, the court could present no evidence to convict them on those charges, and they walked free. Chippewa victory. And on that note, on this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2017, we want to thank you for listening. This has been Air Cascadia. And we have engineering for us today, Terrell Lowry. Derek Cooks is the AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned and be sure to raise your voice today in remembrance of Dr. Martin Luther King. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
is be true to what you said on paper.
The World Arts Foundation Incorporated and KBOO would like to invite you to its 32nd annual tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday, January the 16th, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, located at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Invited guests will include a multitude of speakers and performances that includes the Portland Interfaith Gospel Choir and choirs from the Portland Public Schools, African drumming, and the acclaimed Jefferson Dancers, and much, much more. Monday, January 16th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., live right here on KBOO 90.